This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM, 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes.
Hello, listeners. Good afternoon. This is the second hour of the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM. The program focuses on Out of This World information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it will be the most interesting radio program you have ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. We are now the fastest-growing psychic and metaphysical radio program in the United States, and now we have listeners in over 20 different countries in Africa, South America, Asia, Australia, New Zealand, and across Canada. Before we start, I'd like to ask all my listeners, both here in the United States and abroad, to send good thoughts and good wishes and prayers to Susan Miller. She's one of the world's best astrologists, and she hasn't been feeling well. And I know your prayers and good thoughts would also really help. I'd also appreciate it if you could please send some good thoughts to Dr. Stanley Monteith, who was a guest of my program a few months ago, Candy Sanders' husband, and another wonderful medical psychic who was on my program several months ago and whose husband has been ill. And to Carol, my web designer, she does wonderful work, but she has a cold, and I know your prayers would help. We will have Danion Brinkley on in a few minutes. We're very fortunate to have him on. He's an incredible guy. He's the survivor of three near-death experiences. He has literally traveled to heaven and back, and is one of the world's best mediums and psychics. For those who'd like to ask Danion any questions, we'll be taking questions after 3:30 p.m. The telephone number here in the studio is area code 425-373-5527, or toll-free at 1-888-298-5569. We have a lot of really interesting guests coming up. I invite you to look at the program website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, and also to send me an email at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com for any suggestions on guests or future programs. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, OTW Radio, and on Facebook at Out of This World Radio. Danion, are you there?
I'm here, Ted.
Oh, good, good, good. Danion is the New York Times bestselling author of Saved by the Light and At Peace and Light. His latest literary classic, co-authored with his wife Catherine Brinkley, is entitled Secrets of the Light, Lessons from Heaven. His first bestseller, Saved by the Light, spent 26 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. In 1995, it was made into a television motion picture by the Fox Network that has been seen by 30 million people worldwide. Following a remarkable near-death experience in 1975, Danion has been on an incomparable spiritual odyssey. His message is timely, true, and beautifully simple. There is no such thing as death. He became a hospice and nursing home volunteer in 1978, and in 1997, he co-founded the Twilight Brigade Compassion in Action. Today, it is one of our nation's largest nonprofit organizations dedicated to the training of volunteers who serve as transition technicians at the bedside of our country's priceless and beloved American War veterans. In 2007, Danion was awarded the President's Lifetime Achievement Award for Outstanding Volunteer Service. Danion, welcome to the program. So happy you could be on today.
Wow, Ted, and thank you for having me, and congratulations on 20 countries and your show expanding worldwide. There is a need for people to have as much insight in the coming times as they can possibly have so that they can make the best decisions that affect their lives and their family in this evolutionary, wondrous time.
Wonderful. Very profound, Danion. How did you, could you tell my audience, for those who are just tuning in for the first time and don't know about your background, how you ended up doing what you're doing now?
Well, I grew up as a tough guy, bad mm-hmm. boy, mm-hmm. you know, and I dealt with everything by hitting it in the face. I played sports, I was not religious at all because I thought that was all crazy. And I served in the Marine Corps, and then I worked for various programs. In 1975, I was talking on the telephone and was struck by lightning. I was hit in the head, hit in the neck, well, just above my ear by lightning coming down the phone line. It went down my spine, out the bottoms of my feet, knocked me out of my shoes, threw me in the air, slammed me down on the bed. I was dead for 28 minutes, completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months. It took me 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself. And in the course of that event, I discovered who we really are, great, powerful, and mighty spiritual beings with dignity, direction, and purpose, with a chosen mission to be here. You choose to come here, and you're chosen to be here. And I realized that every time someone ever tried to tell you about death, they had no idea what they were talking about, or they were trying to get your money, or they were trying to scare you into doing something else other than living your life to the fullest and the most honestly and in the highest integrity as you possibly could. Mm-hmm. No one ever dies. Mm-hmm. Whoever says you die is a fool and a liar.
All right. Well, I had a conversation with a friend of mine last week on that point, and he kept saying, "Oh, my dad's dead." And I stopped him, and I said, "Look, your dad's right here. I can see him. He's standing right next to you. Would you like to ask him any questions?" And he looked at me like I was nuts, and I said, "Your dad has passed on. He's another dimension, but he's not dead. There's no such thing as death." And
it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Think about this. If you live in the religious world, mm-hmm. you're going to have eternal bliss or eternal damnation.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your two choices in a religious context.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm going to be eternally damned and I'm dead, who gives a crap, Ted? You can eternally damn me forever, but if I'm dead, big deal. And right mm-hmm. there, you realize how stupid so much of that stuff that we hear mm-hmm. and what we're told and what we're building our lives on. And, you know, when I came back from being struck by lightning, I spent 2 years. It took me 4 years to really get back here. Mm-hmm. But 2 years was really tough, learning to walk and learning to feed myself. I had a lot of time to think about what it's like in the heavens and where we really come from mm-hmm. and what we come here for. And then in 1989, 13 years later, I had, because of damage done by the lightning, I had to have open heart surgery.
Oh, my goodness.
And then because of damage done by lightning and open heart surgery, 7 years later, I had to have brain surgery.
Oh, my goodness.
So I've been through a lightning strike and three surgeries, two of them resulting in near-death experiences over a 22-year period, and one of them on my hand, which was just I went to sleep and I woke up.
Wow.
You know, but when I had brain surgery, I spent 41 hours in the recovery room.
Oh, my goodness. What a long time.
Well, but it was about discovering there is a... The first two times, Ted, there was, I always thought the blue-gray place where you're aware of this world as you prepare to go to the next one, like down the tunnel or across the bridge or meadow mm-hmm. or whatever people mm-hmm. Symbolically represent that at. Excuse me. And and when I started to look at it and I started to think about that, then what you begin to realize is that it's so structured.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing haphazard about our existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's so structured, and most of it was created by us.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to look at all the things like we all worry about. Is there a heaven? I have no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
None. And then second, what about hell? Well, when I was in that 41 hours in recovery, there is a place that it's not hell, but it's where people who refuse to go to the light, because you have free will, the light. There are people who are so caught up in the narcissistic control mindset are basically just bad.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to wander around in this place until they decide to let go and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so by watching and looking at that, you become to realize that there is a fair and just universe and that this is just a minor experience in the life of a spiritual being as they decide who they want to be and how they want to manifest their unique spiritual talents.
Fascinating, fascinating. We have one caller on the line. I don't know, would you mind taking a quick call now?
And then... Absolutely, let's roll.
All right. Okay. All right, for those who are just tuning in, by the way, this is KKNW, 1150 AM. We're on live on the air, Out of This World Radio with Danyon Brinkley. Hello, Carol, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
My pleasure. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Hi, Carol.
See, I wanted to ask you, something really strange happened to me about 5.5 years ago.
Okay.
Where I met a person, and I shook his hand, and I got this surge. And what's strange is this happened 5.5 years ago, and I can't seem to shake this person. And I didn't know whether I'm going to see him again or what that even meant or whether
Carol, Hold on. Okay. When you say you met this person, okay, and the surge, describe the surge. Is it a constant memory and reminder of this person once you had embraced or touched each other?
No, it was more of, I don't know how to say it. It was just kind of shocking. You know, I mean, it just kind of woke me up type of a feeling.
Kindred spirit. Someone you've known before. Someone that in the interaction was necessary to help jar your memory. We all carry a certain deep spiritual belief and a connectivity to each other. I mean, it was proven with the Higgs boson particle being discovered in Switzerland. Seeing this person again, but the fact that there are those that we have kindred spirits with, that we are connected to each other in more than just passing, and that transfer of energy usually comes in a knowingness. And then other times there are people, because you're probably staggeringly beautifully and utterly amazing, that when the handshake came, you were just feeling that passionate, sensual nature that that person was feeling at by being in your presence.
I don't, because I also felt this overwhelming love, and I didn't know whether that meant I'm going to see this person again in the future, or
someone like them.
Or somebody like that.
Yeah, someone like that, because look, you never limit it to a person. You limit it and let it expand from a concept. If it's able to happen and for you to feel that, if it has to do with a person, then this is knowing someone before or in other dimensions. We don't just function here. You know, why you have to sleep as much as you're awake is because we occupy, based on quantum physics and the multi-universe theory, we occupy between 11 and 17 simultaneous levels of consciousness. When I heard that, Carol, I figured out why I was so tired when I woke up in the morning, because if I was having half as much fun in those other dimensions as I've been having in this one, I deserve to be tired. And so what you have to realize is somewhere in another dimensional reality, the two of you as spiritual beings in a common focus or a common identity or common job description had a moment to pass in the night. So I would say that this person is not as significant as the feeling, and I would put out in the world that did not look for that person again, but to find that nature of the kindred spirits between you and others, so you can find that deep, spiritually unfolding love. Because once you know it exists, it's not a person that you yearn for. It's the connection to the divine part of love.
Oh, okay.
All right, so here's...
You.
Wait, let me tell you one more thing, Carol. Okay. Let me tell you one more thing, Carol. Sit down and take a napkin and a piece of paper and draw a line down the center of that page. And on the left-hand side, write what you felt. And then on the right-hand side, write why do you think you felt it or why do you think you deserved it. And then think of what was going on in your life at that moment. It could just as easily be that in despair or a moment of support or someone appreciating you because someone didn't, that a stranger comes along and equals and matches that. Angels do that stuff, you know. No one's left alone, and in that moment that was going on around your life, you can sense the divine influence being present and actively in your life. It's not about a person. The only person it's about is you.
It's me, okay. Well, I hope I can find that again, because that was wonderful.
Carol, you will find it again, I assure you. I'm getting the message that you will. Just keep up, keep open to it. It will happen.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
No,
Carol.
Thank you, Carol. And if I'm ever anywhere near, please come up and shake my hand so you can. It was probably you passing it on to them instead of them passing it on to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Wonderful, Danyan. What a nice thing, good advice you gave her. I just want to remind our listeners that if you'd like to call in and ask a question of Danyan, our phone number here in the studio is area code 425-373-5527. If you're calling overseas, please be sure to add the U.S. country code, which is 001. Toll-free within Western Washington, our number here is 1-888-298-5569. Danyan, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, too. What do you see for the show and myself this year?
Well, you keep expanding. The point of it is looking for people who need to sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that I sense most is finding sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's 20 countries, that's international as well as national and local sponsorship.
Oh, good.
We are all interested in this subject matter. It's why you're growing. We are all begun based on science.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the near-death experience, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Whose fault is it that there's a near-death experience?
Mm-hmm.
Science.
Mm-hmm.
We know so much about the body that not only can it keep you alive longer than you should,
mm-hmm.
they can't keep you from coming back because they understand good chemistry.
Mm.
So the whole problem with having multiple people having near-death experiences is the fact that we've reached a level of consciousness in chemistry that we're able to bring people back from a point. In 1975, if you didn't have any oxygen to your brain for 5 minutes, that means you were brain dead. Well,
mm-hmm.
That explains part of my problem. But nonetheless, I'm back. And, you know, there's so many books. I just happened to have led the way in the early years of this because of Dr. Raymond Moody. I kind of led the way when people began to open up about having these experiences, and I wrote Saved by the Light, which was 20 years ago last week.
Mm.
I wrote Saved by the Light because when I would listen and being with Raymond Moody, who coined the phrase NDE, mm-hmm. Dr. Raymond Moody, I would listen to grown men crying because somebody listened that was not critical.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And I didn't give a crap, Ted, where anybody mm-hmm. thought I had a near-death experience or not. I always say, one day I never believed any of this, the next day I was dead, and the day after that it became everything I never believed in. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't go from, there's no way this is true. I went from, there's no such thing, to, how in the world does this work?
Sure, sure, absolutely.
And so I don't care whether people believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But people needed to be defended.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond wasn't as strong as, you know, he was a doctor and brilliant and really funny, but he wasn't strong mm-hmm. to stand up for people. He was just expounding on his research.
Sure, sure, sure.
And someone had to defend people who had been chastised and who were condemned and, you know, told all kinds of things. It was drugs and
mm-hmm.
all the chemistry and the medical
mm-hmm.
side.
Sure.
But these people were seriously and deeply spiritually moved, and they couldn't tell anybody.
Right.
So
right.
I decided to pave a way for them.
Wonderful. Well, you know, I'm for one so grateful you did, Danyan, and you're on the show today. We have a caller. Would you like to take another call, Danyan?
Absolutely.
All right, Karen. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you.
Welcome to the program. Please, Danyan's on the line. Feel free to ask Danyan a question.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. How are you?
My life is filled with joy and happiness now that you have called.
Oh, super. We like that. I was just calling to see what you see for my future.
You have to be more direct. Okay, you have to pick out a specific. We all have multiple options in our lives. Okay, and we control our future. We create
okay.
the world we live in. Nobody else does. So
mm-hmm.
in looking at the generalized, then you have to have a specific area so I can focus on it. Because what happens? Before you come here, you design certain obstacles, things that you can overcome. And because, and you create most of those obstacles because you believe there's nothing that you can't conquer. So in everybody's life, you have to be specific. If it's love, in a career, being happy, finances, all those kind of things are completely different and function on other vibratory levels. So be specific. Ask me a specific question about something to do with your future that can be dimensionally categorized.
Well, I'm looking and working right now on my career and my finances and trying to find, looking at the right path. What is that?
Okay, so if you had the most perfect choice, what would you be doing? And then second, why are you not doing it?
Those are the questions.
Watch, Karen. Here's how it works. The very first thing a person does if they wake up in the morning and they breathe, mm-hmm. I wake up that I'm thankful. And I wake up thankful and I wake up that I'm breathing because that means I have X amount of a day more to be here. Okay? And I may not make it through the whole day, but when I wake up, at least I'm still here. Second, you have to function as a mental, physical, spiritual being, mostly physical and mental. But you also have to be of service. So when a person gets confused in their job description, they've been at it a while, they don't like it, they don't like the politics that usually go on in it, and they don't like the like of someone, and for you specifically, someone who you think should have gotten promoted, who did, has now become a little more bossy or not as friendly as one of the gang. And so that makes you really think about what you want to be doing. All right, so from that point of view, what you take a good look at is this. What in the world would make me the happiest? And what can I do to be of service to humankind while I'm figuring that out? Me, I became a hospice volunteer because I know what's going to happen next. And then I created the Twilight Brigade, a program that trains people to come and face death so they can protect someone they love or someone who has loved them when they have to make those critical decisions. So the first thing that has to happen is you have to eat, take a bath, brush your teeth, and pee. The next thing you have to do is have a cause, something that you wake up in the morning and when you look in the mirror and see what all you got to fix so you can get out in the day, it serves two things. For me, I wake up, I look at myself, I'm getting older, I don't like what I see in a lot of places, but because I opened my eyes this morning, a veteran will not die alone somewhere in the United States. People say, Daniel, why are you so interested in dying veterans? Because I am one. So you have to identify within that framework, Karen, what you want to do, all right? And then what do you serve? So let's say you want to change your whole life, clean your closet out. Go into your closet and clean it out and see what you need to keep and what you need to give away based on the season. And instead of going and put it in the dumpster or put it into the welfare or the goodwill, you take it down to a women's abuse shelter, a child's abuse shelter, and you donate it. And you watch what has no meaning to you become the most precious gift of someone. And then your life will begin to change and the divine nature will come and inspire you and your life will be bountiful and beautiful.
True. Very good.
Karen, I think Danny gave you some absolutely wonderful, fantastic advice. I hope it helps.
Thank you.
Well, if you do it, I'll guarantee it'll help.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Clean that closet out and call. And when that moment hits of you clarifying where you want to go since you don't like, it's like someone that's was in the gang has now got a little too much power going to their head, Karen, and that's causing this. But when you're in service, then the divine creates higher levels of perception so you can see above the clouds and see what you want to do. And if you do what I ask you about cleaning out your closet, be sure to come back to Ted and tell him so we can all celebrate you finding your way and having a bright, brilliant, loving future.
Thank you. I will.
Thank you. I can't wait.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Karen, for calling in. Really appreciate it.
But see, people, Ted, I mean, what people do, Ted, is they ask questions that something else is in control.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else is in control.
Mm-hmm.
You made certain bargains and deals. Okay, and why I get really specific, because then I can target based on their record. Mm-hmm. It's called the Akashic Record.
Sure.
I can target whether you created an obstacle or whether it was an obstacle that was created based on what someone else's pathway was.
Oh,
and I know there was someone who got a raise or got promoted that's changed the dynamic of where the environment she's working in.
Mm.
And then, because I don't think that it was Karen who thought she should have gotten that raise or that promotion,
mm-hmm.
but it's changed her mindset about their comfort zone. And she's in the middle of, it's not like midlife crisis, but it's like re-identifying who you are at a certain point in the aging process. And she's re-identifying. She just forgot how magnificently wonderful and beautiful she is. And so she starts to second guess what kind of money she needs as she approaches that point of where you slow down and you take care of yourself.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. I have to ask you, Danyon, when you were on the other side with your near-death experiences, what was it like over there?
Hello?
Hello, Danyon, hi. We lost you there for a minute. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Oh, good, good.
Everything is sensual, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to use that phrase, but everybody thinks about sex when they think about sensual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But over there, this is the most important thing about over there. We always want to be a part of something. You know, mm-hmm. we always feel like we want to be a part of a family, or we want to be liked, or we want to be cared about, and we always. But over there, you want to be a part of something, but over there wants to be a part of you. And that sense of comfort and security and joy that the divine wants to be a part of you and connect with you, equal that you want to be a part of it, it creates this mutual harmonic vibration that changes your identity and nature from who you thought you were occupying this body to who you truly are.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what's happening in the world, Ted. Let's shift for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Iraq and let's look at Syria.
Okay.
Let's look at everything that happened. Everything, because if anyone who reads Saved by the Light, Chapter 5, they see that there were boxes of knowledge that beings of light gave me.
Mm-hmm.
I may not have gotten them all on the exact date because nothing was carved in stone,
right.
but I haven't missed any. And so here we are. I said in 1975, where Russia goes, so shall go the world.
Hmm.
And what the Russians are doing is combining with the Chinese to break the dollar as a world currency. And they're doing a good job.
Hmm.
There is a story about the Middle East. And I said the war in the Middle East and what was going to happen was when the Vatican began to create a new Vatican-like identity within the nature of Jerusalem. And that's what this Pope is doing. He's holding prayer sessions between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And now the Sunnis are driving the Shia. Instead of the Shia, which is a part of the Muslim religion, you have Wahhabis, Shia, and Sunnis.
Right.
Instead of the Shia finding to make a government of inclusiveness, the Shia made the Sunnis the problem, like has Saddam Hussein was a Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
Saudi Arabia's are Sunnis,
mm-hmm.
Iran are Shias.
Mm-hmm.
So the legendary age-old battle between who is the supreme inheritor of the legacy of Muhammad,
mm.
nothing to do with America,
mm-hmm.
that same battle, whether it was the uncle, the cousin, or the father, or the son-in-law, or the brother-in-law of Muhammad, and this is what they're fighting about.
Mm.
So what we have to do is we have to watch the Pope and what's happening based on the prayer meeting between Perez and the Palestinian Authority,
mm.
because he will create a breakthrough.
Mm.
He'll create a breakthrough. What's happened in Iraq, we filled him with so many weapons,
right.
and as the Sunnis capture the weapons,
mm-hmm.
the same thing is going to happen. It will become Sunni-ruled as opposed to what Maliki said was a democratic rule.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what people have to really pay attention to is the shift in value of the American currency.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure you have a little something stored back just in case something weird happens because mm-hmm. you never know. And right now, I believe that we sit on the precipice of world war or world peace.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes that so exciting is it's in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
we are responsible, excuse me, with what we think and what we're doing and what our prayers are that'll make that difference. There is no one anyone can blame for where we are but ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly good advice, Danyon. We have another caller on the line. Would you like to take another call, Danyon?
Absolutely.
All right. Hello, Renee, are you there?
I'm here, thank you.
Hi, welcome to Out of This
World.
Thank you. I have a question. I have a lot of communication during dreams with people that I knew. Some have passed 20 years ago, some recently. And are they connecting with me during the day, or is this their way of connecting with me just in dreams?
No, they stay around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have teamwork. You come in series of teams. I mean, we come in series of teams. Okay, and being so-called alive or not alive has nothing to do with the nature of succeeding as a group. And these are people who probably loved you or admired you. Two of the things where you have this kind of communication is usually rested in three things. Number one, they appreciated and then admired you, and or you inspired them. Or you appreciated and admired them, and they inspired you. And that sense of compassion, that sense of loving and caring, that sense of identifying stays. So what you need to do is when you go to sleep, when you lie down to go to sleep, you ask those questions, you write them down. Here's the mistake that people make. We let this stuff ramble around in our heads. We never put it down in black and white. You get a pen that writes black and you get a white piece of paper and you write down the questions. What's our mission? How can I help you where you are? You don't ever ask them to help you where you are. Okay, because that's the whole key. How can I help you where you are? Because once you know they're around and once you know they're there, then you begin an art of communication and giving them a comfort zone so that they can make themselves present and aware in your daily life. Like when something says, don't do that, something says, it's okay. Okay, because once you start allowing that to happen, then those communications become more normal. I have so many dead friends, at least everybody else thinks they're dead, but they're not dead to me because I see them and listen to them all the time. I mean, it's like being Whoopi Goldberg on Ghost.
Didn't you say a couple of months ago when I had you on my program earlier that more of your friends are dead than alive?
Well, yeah, because, you know, over here, a lot of people don't like me, but over there, everybody loves me.
Well, thank you. That really helps, and I'm glad you mentioned the black and white paper. And yeah,
because here's what we do: we let it ramble around in our heads. We read books about it, but once it's occurring, take active, do something about it, and always try to be of service. This is my big push, because you never know how talented you are and how magnificent you are until you see it in someone else's face. When they look up at you because you opened the door, or you smiled, or you patted them on the back, or you thought to call Aunt Minnie and ask her how she's doing, or you stop by a nursing home and ask if there's anyone who has no visitors, and then, you know, because most of them don't, and then you just develop that kind of relationship. I mean, I live my whole life doing this kind of stuff. Why? Because I know what matters over there. It's not the big things that becomes multi-million selling book author, blah, 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 swami, all that crap. None of that means anything. It's when you sit down by the bedside and you let them tell you their life story. Mm-hmm. You sit down and you listen.
Thank you for bringing your light to the world. We sure need it.
And thank you for bringing your light to the world, because that crowd that's on the other side needs it.
Okay.
And you might be that one point component. Excuse me, you might be that one component that allows them to still function over here and through you to achieve the goals that the team of you set out to achieve.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And I really believe that. I'm not theorizing. It's true.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, Renee, thank you so much for calling in. And we're getting a bunch of phone calls in. We're getting all the lines now are lighting up.
Serves you right, Ted.
My sound engineer, Taylor, is off scrambling to catch all the calls coming in. I'll wait till he gets the next call, and then we have another call on the line. Well, Danyon, your book, Saved by the Light, I remember you talked about while we come back for the, well, he's back now. Oh, good. We have Karen from Pasco on the line. Go ahead, Taylor, yeah. Hello, Karen, are you there?
Yes.
So good to have you call in. How are you today?
I'm fine. Oh. I'm just fine.
Oh, good.
Hi, well, Karen.
Hi.
Go ahead, Karen. Ask. Feel free to ask Danyon any question you like.
Well, I just recently moved to a new city to take on a new career. Well, same kind of career I've always been in, but with a new company. And I'm just not sure that I made the right choice and I'm on the correct career path.
Okay, I can tell you, you made the exact right choice.
Oh, good. That's
okay,
good.
There's no question in my mind 100%.
Okay.
All right, number one, there's a little bit of loneliness that's going through you. It's just like buyer's remorse. It's a little bit of loneliness right now because this is the same job, but the way this company operates is slightly different. Everything has its uniqueness about it, but you'll fit in perfect. Okay, but I also pick up this. It's like joint pain. It's like knees and ankles.
Knees, yes.
Okay, this is very important that you pay attention to it, and it's very important to the chairs, the same type of chairs you were in the last time, you're in the same chairs. Okay. There is something happening, and it's DNA. It's not like arthritis or something. But there's something that's happening where these knees, because soon it'll be your ankles. Okay? And the same thing I had to beat Ted about. Do you need to have a glucosamine chondroitin supplement?
And I take that.
You already take it?
Uh-huh. I just started, though, about 3 weeks ago, actually.
Now you're talking. Okay, so you need to add magnesium and calcium.
Okay.
You need more magnesium. When you add glucosamine and chondroitin, okay, then you need magnesium and calcium, but you need more magnesium than you need calcium.
Okay.
So you find a magnesium-calcium supplement or powder.
Okay,
because if you use pills, you have to digest. If you use a powder and you drink it, you deal with mitochondrial absorption into the cells. Because this pain brings back memories. It's bringing back memories that create self-doubt. Now, I don't really know whether you're a cheerleader or whatever it was that created this mindset and whatever's happening to the tissue, like the tendons, how it was strained, but it's bringing back memories. But I can promise you this, you made the smartest move of your life.
Oh, good.
When you took this job. Now,
can I ask one other quick question from you?
Well, that's up to Ted.
Yes, of course. Go right ahead, Karen.
Okay.
Please ask anything you want.
I have a son that has MS, and his name is Jason, and they don't know if he's gone into secondary progressive MS or not, and it's kind of dubious because he has some of the symptoms that he has and others that he has not. And he's on this new drug now. It's an experimental drug, but he's walking, and he has been not always able to do that. However, it's affecting his ability to think. And I guess my question is this the right course of medication for him? And this is the last drug that they can even put him on, and his body has rejected everything.
Well, his body should reject it, but this is the choice he makes. You remember this. All that stuff comes from issues. A lot of the times you bring it forward from another, I don't use past lives, but you bring it forward from another dimensional reality that you're functioning in. And this is his choice. You ask him, would he rather walk and not know where he is, or would he rather not walk and know where he is? Well, this is the two choices, okay?
Yeah.
So what comes this way? What do you do? It's easy. You need vitamin C, ascorbic acid.
Mm-hmm.
You need liquid trace minerals, liquid, and preferably from the Great Salt Lake, okay? Because what happens in this, the thyroid and the pituitary gland are your regulators. somewhere was a severe deficiency of trace minerals in the developmental nature of him, not something that you did, because we all have predisposed positions. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do is we have to get that, because I know that his thyroid is being affected by this drug regimen, but the choice belongs to him, his choice, because he chose this way to teach or learn. Okay, you don't get involved in the sadness of it. You get involved in the fact that each of us, without any question, nobody did anything to you. You're not being punished for a past life. All that stuff that people say, although that does happen sometimes, but it's not the normal train. You pick a way that you can teach the best or you can learn the best of what you think benefits the divine in its plan. The universe does not care what you want. It only cares why you want it. And if why you want something matches their unfoldment within the context of a galaxy, not mm-hmm. just locally, they'll give it to you because you're helping to fulfill what the divine plan is. It's a conversation with him.
Okay.
You know, what would you rather have? You can walk, which gives you a certain self-identity, but you have no idea where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and which would you rather have? Would you rather have your mind so you can make decisions, or would you rather have be able to walk? Because this drug will not last long. It deteriorates the liver and somehow is affecting his bladder. So what is his urinary cycle like?
Oh, it's affected it. You are definitely right on about that. And you're right that it's affected his whole system. He doesn't do well on any of the artificial drugs that they've put him on at all. His body rejects them, actually.
Because it's depleting his trace mineral count.
Okay,
and I can detect, those things. That's why I know I can detect it. I would not be on that drug no matter what, but that's not a choice that we make.
Mm-hmm.
I would build this body. Vitamin C is so important. Vitamin E is so important. Vitamin D, is so important.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, because these supplement the body, but I tell you something that's really important. He's got to have Aphidophilus. This drug is affecting the friendly fluids. That's how I can tell about the urinary tract.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good drug for him.
Okay.
It's not. But that's not your choice.
No, I know that. I just had to ask you because he is feeling that it's not the right drug. However, when he's on no drugs, then he can't walk at all.
Well,
so.
hopefully
yeah, but you know what? Mm-hmm. That's not a point. The point of it is I'm agreeing because this drug, he loses control. But the point of it is having a clear conscience and a clear brain is far more important than walking, especially if he can motivate himself or maneuver himself around. Because if he gets on a B-complex time release, he gets on vitamin D for 4,000 units a day,
mm-hmm.
and he takes his trace minerals. And there is something really important about ascorbic acid, vitamin C. Okay, but if he gets on this, he won't know himself. And the clarity of consciousness, because he's lived in a haze for now the last 4 years, it's a haze from one drug to the next. But the body's depleting, you know, because now he hungers for carbs and sugar. Okay, so both of those foods, as opposed to what's good for you, are seriously affecting me, and these are withdrawal symptoms that's coming from the drug that he's taking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
And Karen,
give him a kiss from me and Ted.
I'll do that.
Karen, we have other callers on the line, but just hold tight. Are there any other questions you'd like to ask about anything else, Karen? Quickly.
No. But thank you for answering my questions. You gentlemen have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you, Karen, for calling. Take care. All right. Thank you for holding. We have other people on hold. Please hold. We have now, let's have Angel in Seattle, and Todd, you'll be next. Angel, go ahead, please. You're on the Out of This World radio program.
Oh, good afternoon. It's an honor to speak with Mr. Brinkley. How are you?
Hi, Angel. I'm doing great, and I'm just Danian.
Again, Well, I heard you first about a year ago on George Norrie, and I was blown away by your interview, and I feel very honored and a little nervous. So
First, take a deep breath. Listen to the shallowness in your voice. It's just me, you, Ted, and 8 million people in 20 countries.
Okay, that made me feel better.
and in over 20 other countries.
So
it's not.
I heard that. It's wonderful, wonderful. But my mother passed away several years back, and her name is Adriana, and she was coming to me in dreams quite profusely, and I'm wondering, she hasn't come to me in a dream for a while, but I moved into a new home here in Seattle, and there are times when I feel her, and I just can't see her, and I'm wondering, about 3 months ago, she came to me in a dream, and there's a friend that I met, and she said, oh, I know who he is. And so I'm wondering, does she place people in my path? Her death was very sudden. She had a brain aneurysm, and I never got to talk to her. And
Do you have a sister?
No, I don't. I have a brother that...
Okay, is the brother younger than you or older?
Older.
Okay. He took this worse than you?
I'm not sure. He's actually with the father. The father's been the dark person, like when you were mentioning, not about past lives, but when you come into this life, he was very abusive and emotionally, physically, and left us destitute. And I, after her passing, I just started to jump into spiritual. I wanted to know what happened. So I started having premonition. I think I had a premonition of her passing the day before. I had a weird dream, and I wasn't aware of any of this. So it kind of propelled me into the psychic arts, or just wanting to know.
Well, this is the place that you come to find out. But let me tell you something. She had a conversation with you probably 10 days before this happened. Mm-hmm. And she was more worried about your brother, about how he was going to manage it, than he was worried about you. That's why she came earlier. That's why she kept coming. Has he processed to it and found comfort and found a place to dealing with it? She began to tend to her business over there. Mm-hmm. And now, because, you know, you have to reacclimate, you got to learn where all the bars are, you know, where the dry cleaners is, all the spiritual stuff. I mean, I say that in funny, but when you have to change frequency and vibration to attune yourself to where it is you want to go and what you want to know over there. So it's a new skill set. You can't buy gasoline. You have to learn to harmonize with the frequency. Then you enter that level of plane. So she started getting interested. She wasn't like a... Did she, when she was fixing food, did she hum or sing?
Oh, she was a professor of music. She always sang. Yeah, she had a
beautiful
voice.
Okay, I got her. Okay, what would you like to know from her right now?
I'd like to know what if I'm on the right track, and is she helping place people? There's still kind of unfinished business with the father energetically. There was a judgment court order, and he disappeared, and now we found him 32 years later in Germany, and there's other children. It really stunned me, and so I want to know what she feels about this.
She thought he was an idiot from the beginning.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's comfortable with the fact that he's an idiot,
mm-hmm.
okay? And she needs you to let it go.
Uh-huh.
I have her. So when I said she was going to harmonize and finding the frequencies, that's like the voice. I mean, she could tune and she understood. And how she dealt with that world in her ethereal world was singing or music. That's why I asked that, because I could see her standing at a kitchen and singing.
Mm-hmm.
But she thought he was a fool. She still thinks he's a fool, and she doesn't care whether you interact with him or whether the judgment exists or any of that. Now, I can't tell you whether she's putting people in your life or not, although it's really true, but I can't tell you that, because that takes away your knowledge and understanding of you being in control of your life. But let's just say this. She has a way of being helpful. You know, she has a way of being helpful. But every person that comes into your life, study the nature and character, not the person. It's never about the person. It's about their nature, integrity, and their character. Because once you have observations about certain people, then the perfect person shows themselves. And it may be amazing that that person you would not know it, that that was the right person, but the qualities and character shows itself. But I wouldn't think about my father. I wouldn't care. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
Definitely. And one quick question. I have some weird, I went to a chiropractor a couple of days ago. I have some weird pain in my lower back, but I think it's more of a nerve. And that was part of the abuse that I suffered from the father in the lower
sciatic.
Lumbar.
Yeah, that's sciatic.
Is that and what should I do? I think the other caller you were telling her about the calcium, and am I deficient in maybe some trace minerals too? Or
everybody's deficient in minerals and vitamin D. But let's stick to this. This adjustment was good, but it wasn't complete.
Uh-huh.
And what happens because you sit, your muscles are tightening down. So once, this is like your lower left side, and those muscles tighten back down because you're not stretching those muscles. You're not bending over and touching your toes. You're not paying attention to that because those muscles have to be stretched like you sit and roll your shoulders to one side and roll your shoulders to the other. And once you got it adjusted, since it's already scarred, once you got it adjusted, it didn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
It locked itself and tightened down. I don't sense, everybody needs liquid trace minerals because we don't get it in our food anymore.
Okay.
And I like the Great Salt Lake. I think it's called Trace Mineral Research is the company I like, you know, because you can get your trace minerals, but it still has electrolytes because it comes from the Great Salt Lake.
Daniel, I'm sorry to interrupt my friend, but I want to get in another caller if I can. He's been waiting a long time. We have a couple of minutes. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I actually know the trace minerals. I've already bought some, so I really appreciate it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. All right, sorry, we've only got a couple minutes left, but I do want to get in some other callers. Todd's been waiting a long time.
Hey, Todd.
Let's see. We'll get you on here, Todd. Todd, are you there?
All right.
Hello, Todd.
Am I here? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
So today I'm experiencing some vertigo, and also I'm planning to move from Issaquah back to Seattle. I've had really stressful time with school, and typically, my pattern has been panic attacks and then a lot of rage attacks over the past 2 years. The rage has been subsiding, but a lot of panic still. And I feel sick. I've been on HIV meds for a really, really long time. And I'm in the process of learning equanimity through stress. And I'd like to know if there's a piece that can really assist me in this.
Absolutely, Todd. You need HGH. All those HIV drugs, you know, and how their side effects are affecting that. But you need human growth hormone, HGH or HGH3. You could probably get it at any GNC or Whole Foods. And the fact about moving back to Seattle, smart move. Yeah. Smart move because everything that drove you away, especially a really good relationship that turned into insanity, okay, that relationship is done. But you also bring back to you to Seattle a sense of comfort and a sense of realizing who you are and the ability to move forward.
Yeah.
Now, you need HGH. Everybody needs trace minerals now. I mean, not everybody, but you need trace minerals. HGH and D3, 4,000 units a day.
Daniel,
within a week, you'll love you, and you'll begin to see that you are taking back control of your life, and somebody's not manipulating you.
Daniel, Todd, thank you so much for calling. I'm sorry we only have a few seconds left, actually. But Daniel, I wanted to thank you so much for your being on the program, and I want to give the rest of the time to you, about 15 seconds.
Go to Daniel.com, D-A-N-N-I-O-N.com, and everybody, I love you with all my heart worldwide. And Ted, thank you for letting me come out and play with your audience.
My pleasure, Daniel. You have a wonderful weekend, and thank you again so much for coming on.
25, if man is still alive, if